From Sextus, a benevolent disposition, and the example of a family governed in a fatherly manner, and the idea of living conformably to nature, and gravity without affectation, and to look carefully after the interests of friends, and to tolerate ordinary folk and those who voice unconsidered opinions. He had the power of readily accommodating himself to all, so that conversation with him was more agreeable than any flattery. And at the same time he was most highly venerated by those who associated with him, and he had the faculty both of discovering and ordering, in an intelligent and methodical way, the necessary principles of life. And he never showed anger or any other passion, but with this complete freedom from passion came great affection, and he expressed approbation without fanfare, and carried much knowledge without ostentation. From Alexander the Grammarian, to refrain from fault-finding, and from chidingly breaking into someone's utterance to correct a barbarous choice of vocabulary, or a solecism of syntax or pronunciation, but dexterously to introduce the proper expression in the form of an answer or a confirmation, or in the course of some further discussion of the subject itself, rather than how it is expressed or by some other skilful manoeuvre. From Fronto, I learned to observe the effect of envy and duplicity and hypocrisy when there is absolute power, and that generally those among us who are called patricians are rather deficient in paternal affection. From Alexander the Platonist, not to frequently or without real necessity say to anyone or write in a letter that I have no time, nor continually to excuse the neglect of duties that our various relationships with people require of us by alleging urgent business to be attended to. From Catullus, not to be indifferent when a friend finds fault with us, even if it be an unreasonable criticism, but to try to restore him to his usual disposition towards us, and to be ready to speak gratefully of teachers, as it is reported of Domitius and Athenodotus, and to love my children truly. From my brother Severus, to love my kin, and to love truth, and to love justice, and through him I learned to know the character of Thrasea, Helvidius, Cato, Dion, Brutus, and from him I got the idea of a polity in which there is the same law for all, a polity administered with regard to equal rights and equal freedom of speech, and the idea of a kingly government that respects most of all the freedom of the governed. I learned from him also consistency and undeviating steadiness in my regard for philosophy, and a disposition to do good, and to give to others readily, and to cherish an optimistic outlook, and to believe that I am loved by my friends. And in him I observed no concealment of his opinions with respect to those whom he condemned, and that his friends had no need to conjecture what he wished or did not wish, but it was quite plain. From Maximus I learned self-government, and not to be diverted by trifles, and cheerfulness in all circumstances, even in illness, and a just admixture in the moral character of sweetness and dignity, and to get on with what must be done without complaining. I observed that everybody believed that he thought as he spoke, and that in all that he did he never had any bad intention, and he never showed amazement and surprise, was never in a hurry, and never put off doing a thing, nor was perplexed, nor dejected, nor did he ever laugh to disguise his vexation, nor, on the other hand, was he ever furious or suspicious. He was accustomed to do acts of beneficence, and was ready to forgive, and was free from all falsehood. And he presented the appearance of a man who by nature could not be diverted from right, rather than one who was so by training. I observed, too, that no man could ever think that he was despised by Maximus, or ever venture to think himself a better man. He had also the art of being humorous in an agreeable way.